What's wrong, Stinky?
The air doesn't seem to be as clean as it used to be. What can we do about it?
Planting flowers, trees, and shrubs from Paradise Gardens can help.
Good point, Wren. I can already smell our fresh piece of paradise.
Stop by Paradise Gardens on the corner of Route 84 and Highway 136 in Fulton. You can get here from anywhere.
Well, that's right, as Margo joins us on the phone. And I just want to say, Margo, the first couple weeks that the North Bridge was closed, the Fulton businesses said that they didn't really notice any drop-off in business. But as time has kind of gone on, they have started to notice some drop-off in business. So I hope folks, you know, because of the inconvenience of having to drive down to the South Bridge and go over, please don't stop going over there and patronizing the Fulton businesses.
Oh, I know, because, you know, it's just another interesting route to get to Fulton, you know, check out the landscape, check out the agriculture, and, you know, go on up to the lock and dam, and that's always a fun place to go. So make it a little adventure and get over to Fulton and those area businesses and just take a little ride around and enjoy the scenery. It's so green right now. Oh my gosh. I don't remember too many seasons where we've had such a green July, and it will be green going into August. I mean, this is just incredible. Raining again, the nice soft rains are the ones we want, of course. The flash floodings we've seen around the country, so devastating. So anytime there's a nice soft rain, we need to just be so grateful and so thankful. So I'm going to talk about a number of things this morning, but if you do have a question, the number is 563-242-1252, and the number again is 242-1252. And we've had some really good questions in the last few weeks, and I know generally if one person's calling in about something, there are other people out there with the same issue or same question, so you know, we've got moisture, finally getting moisture in the ground in some areas. And it does vary, you know, around the county and around the state. So some areas watch the rivers, that they're flooding warnings and things like that. So just pay attention to the weather and pay attention to the news concerning areas that you may be going to. And again, zip on over to Fulton. Maybe have lunch, maybe have breakfast, stop in at Paradise Gardens, check out all his wonderful, you know, blooming hydrangeas. Oh, my gosh, they're so beautiful blooming around the area. And I give a lot of credit to plants that burst into bloom in the end of July and into August, because it can get pretty brutal. And even though we do have really strong sun rays and sunlight this time of year, we have been getting more moisture than normal. So with that in mind, I want to talk about a term we've only heard in the last few years, and I'll explain to you why. But again, if you have a question, the number is 242-1252, and you're welcome to call in anytime during the show. So the words or the name I'm referring to is corn sweat. Now, this is kind of a Midwest thing, and it's generally due to the vast areas of cornfield. And, you know, I remember growing up on a farm, a dairy farm in Scott County, and it would be so humid at night, and we had no air conditioning, no fans, and it was just miserable at night because of the high humidity. And we could hear the corn grow, so yes, you can. But anyway, it was actually what we're calling now corn sweat. And it used to be called transpiration. So long word, we changed it down to corn sweat, which we all kind of get the term. Okay, it's basically we find it in areas where there's a lot of corn being grown specifically. And so those are areas of the Midwest, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and then parts of a few other states. And this is because we have vast, vast acreage of field corn being grown. Now, all plants will, transpire water vapor or humidity, whatever you want to call it. You know, we drink a lot of water. We also, when we breathe out, moisture comes out. We know that in the winter because if we blow in a cold window, we see that the ice crystals form. So we also give off and add to the humidity, but nothing like the cornfields. So one corn plant can produce up to 4.5 cups of water a day in the form of water vapor. So what the plants are doing when they have moisture in the ground because of the rain, they're pulling that moisture up and they are actively doing their thing with the photosynthesis. They do a lot of nutrient and water movement throughout the plant when the plants are tasseling and the ears are forming. So that's pretty much the most active time that the corn plant is. It's a lot of nutrients floating around and a lot of moisture being pulled up. Now, when the plants pull up that much moisture through their root system, when they're done using the water in that in the photosynthesis process, they give off vapor, humidity. And so they are saying that up to 1 acre can produce anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 gallons of water per day when conditions are right. That's 1 acre, 5,000 to 10,000 gallons of water. So that's where the humidity is coming from, some of it. And it's adding to the moisture in the atmosphere, and that, in my opinion, and we need to check with meteorologists and climatologists, that addition of humidity and moisture to the air is fueling more little pop-up storms that we see around this time of year. And growing up, we had some really hot, dry July and August. And now that's kind of changing, especially this year. I've never seen this time of year with this much moisture. So it's called corn sweat, and yes, it is humidity produced by the vast corn fields that we have. Now, all plants will give off moisture, trees, the grass. So all that just kind of, and, you know, wooded areas are going to give off a lot of moisture. So that just adds to some of that humidity. Now, as we get closer to fall, then, of course, that's going to change. The plants aren't taking up as much moisture. There's not as much rain. And then that whole corn sweat kind of thing goes away. And, of course, the tomato plants, the corn plants kind of start shutting down. Okay, one other thing I want to mention quickly are to, if you have tomatoes, to watch for that tomato hornworm. Oh my gosh, this guy will not only eat tomato leaves, but will also jump onto other plants in that same family, which include peppers and eggplant and potatoes. So keep an eye out. They mainly go for the tomatoes. And one of the problems is they camouflage so well, these caterpillars, that you don't see them till they get big. And when I say big, I mean the size of a small cigar. They get huge, and they will devour a part of, or if there's a few on the plant, they'll take out the whole top of your tomato plant. So keep an eye on it. Now, the adult is a moth called the sphinx moth or a hawk moth, and it's often seen early in the morning and right at dusk, kind of hovers around plants going for the nectar, and it's often confused for a hummingbird, but it is actually a sphinx moth or a hawk moth. She's going to lay her eggs on the tomato plant. They're going to hatch. The worms are going to come out really tiny, and they're going to eat and eat and eat. And the bigger they get, the more they eat. And so because they camouflage so well, they're so hard to see. What you generally first notice are sections or entire leaves that are eaten, all except the strong veins of that leaf, the tougher parts of the leaf. So they'll pretty much eat out a whole section. You'll also see the frass, which is the caterpillar poop. You'll see those, they'll drop onto leaves below the area that they're at. You'll see that too. So once you see those areas, you really need to look for that caterpillar. It may only be one or two, but gosh, get them off the plant and destroy them because they're going to do a lot of damage. And I just read the other night, you can take a little black light flashlight and go out right after sundown and kind of shine it on your plant, and the caterpillar will actually show up a little bit better for you to find it. So I don't know the ratio of growth on the tomato hornworm, but I do remember when we talked about the monarch butterflies and the caterpillars. And it was the rate that the monarch caterpillars grew was comparable to a baby eating for 14 days and turning into the size of a school bus. So that is the ratio, and it would be similar, if not more, with the tomato hornworm. So that's pretty incredible that they just eat and eat and eat and can destroy large parts of that. Now, there is a tobacco hornworm, and that is a cousin to the tomato hornworm, and they will eat the tobacco plants in southern areas. And in the past, before they, when they grew a lot of tobacco in the 1800s and early 1900s, they would have to go out and hand pick these caterpillars. And in some cases, if they didn't keep an eye on them, they would destroy the crop. So they were pretty destructive back then. Now, there are insects and diseases that really thrive in the weather we're having right now, the heat and the humidity. And then there are other insects that just don't do well, and we see really drop in their populations. And the really hot, dry temperature insects that come to mind are aphids, a little soft-bodied insect that just sucks the sap out of a plant and isn't a problem if there's just a few of them. But if they're in, hundreds or 200 on one plant, they can really do a lot of damage. White flies are little tiny flies that fly around. They also suck juice out of plants. We see those in really hot, dry weather, which, of course, we haven't been having. We've had the heat, but we've also had the moisture and humidity. And then another one we see when we get really hot, dry periods are grasshoppers. So I'm thinking that this year we won't see many aphids, whiteflies, grasshoppers. On the other hand, with the moisture we've been having, we may start seeing an increase in slugs, S-L-U-G-S, slugs. And these are not insects. But they do damage, and they eat the leaves like an insect would. They are in shady areas. They'll attack your hosta. They generally come out and eat at night, and then they hide during the day. So they're really hard to find. So just keep your eye out for those. If you have plants in shady areas where there's not much sunlight, watch for those, because with this moisture we're having, their populations may start to increase. So we need to kind of, keep an eye on that. Now, I talked earlier about zipping over to Paradise Gardens and checking out all the wonderful nursery stock that he does have in stock. It can be planted this time of year, especially with the moisture that we've been having. Be careful you don't dig in the mud. Make sure the soil dries out a little bit between rains. If you do get a plant or a tree or shrub, bring it home. Make sure you keep it watered up until you get it planted in the ground. Dig a nice big hole for that. Work it in. Do not plant it any deeper than it is in the pot when you get it. We don't want to plant trees too deep because the roots just really struggle if they are too deep. So pay attention to that level in the pot, and then plant it higher and not deeper, if in question. So that's going to be my show for today, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Great Green Garden Show. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.